Scott, you're well known as the Kid Whisperer. We've had several conversations over the past couple of years about the work you're doing with children. Let's just reiterate for our listeners the work that you're doing now.
So I show adults how to be calm, strict, and loving with kids, whether you are a teacher, a parent, a bus driver, lunch lady, paraprofessional. I show you how to be calm and assertive with kids without having to use any anger, without using threats, without using any warnings. So I allow you to be the most strict, calm, and the most loving adult that you can possibly be.
And you know a lot about this. You're a former teacher and use these principles on your own.
That's right. I have worked as a teacher, principal, discipline specialist, really concentrating on working with kids who could be termed at risk, very high level of poverty, most of the kids, lots of adverse childhood experiences have been experienced by my students. So I've used these skills and these procedures to elicit the positive behaviors that I need for kids to be successful in my class, and they need to be successful in life.
So how do you bring them into that area of knowledge?
Well, first, they come to me. That's really important. You know, we try to do outreach to parents and to teachers and to principals, but they have to be ready to learn. They have to have sort of gone through the process of grief of not being the parent they want to be or not being the teacher that they want to be because they can't get the positive behaviors from kids that they need to get. But I teach two things, really. The 9 essential skills for the Love and Logic classroom and parenting skills with Love and Logic and calm, assertive procedures for the classroom and for the school. So we have tons and tons of research that shows that building relationships with kids and sharing control with them in a healthy way is a great way for them to be cooperative and happy. But there's really nothing out there that really shows you step by step how to do that. How do you build relationships with kids? How do you share control in a healthy way? Just being nice to kids doesn't work with really difficult kids because really difficult kids are going to push back when you try to build relationships with them because generally really difficult kids often will have low self-esteem and they'll have a lot of trust issues. So when you say, I think you're fantastic, a difficult kid's going to think, I'm not fantastic and what do you want from me? Right? So we show specific ways how to build relationships with kids, how you go out of your way for kids, how you greet every single kid within what we call an ESPN greeting, which is eye contact, smile, physical contact, and name every single kid every single day. So yesterday, for instance, I was in a school in Cincinnati where I was doing an audit of the school, their brand new building. And we were figuring out where teachers and paraprofessionals and principals and lunch ladies and custodians were going to stand so that they could give kids ESPN greetings as they walked in to change their brain chemistry, to keep their arousal level low so that they can learn, so that they're ready to learn, so that they're ready to be happy, so that they're not in fight or flight. Because if a kid just came from an abusive situation at home, we're going to need to change his brain chemistry before he gets into the classroom. And that's part of what we do, making sure kids are ready to learn no matter what just happened at home, making sure kids are ready to learn when they come to school.
And I think you just touched on one of the challenges. You're teaching adults how to interact with these children, but in many cases, it's adults that are creating challenges for the kids.
I would say almost always it's the adults causing the challenges for the kids. You know, at home, broken people create broken people. And if at home kids are being abused, kids are constantly in fight or flight, they're constantly scared, they're constantly nervous, they don't know where their next meal is coming from, they don't know whether or not they're going to be hit or be abused that night, well, they're not in the right frame of mind. So difficult kids, they have a tremendous need for control because at home, they're having the control taken away from them in the form of abuse or neglect. And so kids, when they come to school, they're thinking, well, sort of their thought in their mind is like, no offense, teacher, but I need a lot of control. So I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to act out. I'm going to stop you from teaching. I'm going to be as obnoxious as possible. Well, I've got to be able to know how to share the control I don't need anyway. Share that control with those kids because I can either share control on my terms or they're going to take it on theirs. So as soon as the moment a kid walks in, we're going to start giving them choices about things. And we're going to have those choices planned out in the form of the procedures that we teach. So we're going to have, we're not just going to say, get to work. We're going to say, all right, we're going to start work. Who would like to have silent workshop? Raise of hands. Who would like to have whispering workshop? Show of hands. Who would like to have soft talking workshop? Show of hands. Well, 98% of the time it's going to be soft talking, right? They're going to choose that anyway, but I gave them the choice. So the most difficult kids, all the kids are going to love it, but it's absolutely essential for the most difficult kids. Without that, you're not going to be successful.
You talked about being in a school and deciding where teachers would stand to offer greetings to children as they came in. That's something that I don't think many people are thinking about these days. How does an idea like that come to you, and how does it come to fruition?
So that's a great question. So it comes to me completely out of necessity. I worked at a school where we had a quarter mile long hallway where there were no adults in it during dismissal. And we're dismissing 500 kids down that single hallway. It was chaos. And there's no real judgment there, because administrators and teachers, they're tasked with doing the job of three people. Just the idea, it's hard enough to open up a building, make sure that it has electricity and running water, and that the teachers are all there, and everyone is equipped to do the basic job. So the way that it really happens is, we've got this learning box that we're going to open, and we're going to put kids in it, and then we're going to get them in, then we got to have them learn, and then we got to get them out. Principals and teachers don't have the time to think about and plan out every single detail that is absolutely necessary to have a safe and comfortable school for kids. You know, we talk about bullying. You know, we see videos and movies about bullying. All I can think when I see bullying in schools is, where are the adults? You have a hallway, you have no adults. You've got an 80% generational poverty rate in these schools, and that statistically says that kids have had, very likely most of these kids have between 2 and 7 adverse childhood experiences, which really makes it more difficult for them to learn, more difficult for them to make good choices, and makes it more likely that they're going to cause problems for other kids. You can't leave kids like that alone for long periods of time with each other. There's going to be, most kids are still going to be great, but there's going to be some kids who are going to hurt other kids. So we want to make those, and that's what I was doing yesterday in Cincinnati, going through a school that hasn't even opened yet, and going through and saying, all right, we need a teacher here. We need a teacher here. Today, right before I came, I was figuring out how we're going to do monitoring of bathrooms during the school day in a school of 900 kids. Those things have to be thought of and thought about, or else you're just using prayer as a behavior management strategy. Like, please don't have kids hurt each other while they're alone in the hallway. That just can't happen. And so I have sort of an obsessive personality, which really helps me thinking, how do I make this building as safe as possible? And what are the adults going to be doing? They're not going to be, if they're going around screaming at kids, telling them not to bully each other, it's just going to make things worse. But if we give adults relationship building procedures, preventive procedures, and consequences, both immediate and delayed, we're going to allow them to be incredibly calm and incredibly assertive to get the positive pro-social behaviors that kids need to have, for the adults to have a good day, for kids to have a good day, and for the kids and adults to be able to be in a school where learning and teaching can take place.
So I love it when people I'm speaking with answer the next question before I get a chance to ask it, which was, your teaching experience the last time we talked was in one of the largest primary schools. Correct. In the state, and you had a lot of kids, a lot of teachers in those rooms and hallways. What was within you during that time where you had time to think about things like this, and how adults interact with children, and where they might stand to make education a better experience for them? You touched on your obsessive personality. Can you just elaborate on that and how far back that goes to the beginning of your education experience?
Yeah, it really did go to the first day as a teacher. I taught and was a principal in Dayton for a decade, and I was in Fairborn for 6 years after that. And from the beginning, I had 2 years without these skills and without these procedures. I hadn't learned the skills. I hadn't created the procedures yet. And I had 2 years of screaming and yelling at kids. And the only thing I had going for me, besides just an attitude of, I have to figure out how to do this, is I thought, this is not acceptable. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do, which is work with at-risk kids. And I can't do it. I can't even come close to doing it. Why is that? And I was always asking that every day. I would say, why is this? Why can I not figure this out? And I would ask people, this isn't the way any of us wanted to teach. And there was a lot of excuses, understandable excuses about the kids' poverty level, excuses about home life, excuses about a lack of funding. All of those things are, there's certainly truth in everything, in all of those things. But that's not good enough for me, because this is what I want to do with my life. And so I, from the beginning, was obsessed with figuring it out. So after I read a book called Teaching with Love and Logic by Jim Fay and David Funk, I started to use these skills, and then I started to create my own procedures for implementing the why of what I learned while I was supposedly learning how to be a teacher, become a teacher, which is, why are these kids like this? Well, they need a lot more control than other kids. Kids need a lot of control. You need to build relationships with kids. I was told this by college professors. Well, that's useless by itself. In fact, it's worse than useless for me, because I was told why these kids were so vulnerable, why these kids were acting out. That doesn't help me. I need to know how to be calm and assertive with these kids. And that really, I learned about love and logic. That was the only thing that ever worked. But then we also need these procedures for systematically giving away control in a healthy way and building relationships with kids. And that's why I'm so excited about our conference that we're doing. And I teach these things all across the country. But we're actually doing a conference over the course of 3 days in Yellow Springs, Ohio, where we're actually teaching how to, in the first 3 weeks of your school year, whether you're teaching kindergarten through 12th grade, how to give away control in a healthy way and build relationships with kids. You can actually, in 3 days, you can come away with 3 weeks worth of lesson plans that will put in place procedures for building relationships and sharing control. And then after those 3 weeks, the kids will run the classroom, because that's part of the control that we give away. In my classroom, using these procedures, there was very little to rebel against. Now, I'm the most strict teacher I've ever seen. I travel across the country coaching teachers, and I'm the most strict teacher I've ever seen. I'm also the most calm. And so I was able to just give away so much control that there was nothing to rebel against. I had these really difficult kids who would want to have the control of running the classroom, coming up with a prompt for when it was time to clean up breakfast, when it was time to get ready for lunch, when it was time to switch classes. So those type of control sharing things, that's what we're teaching. We're teaching those things explicitly and systematically so that we're giving kids the control that they need, so they don't try to take control on their terms. We're giving it away on our terms.
Let's give folks the information they need for the conference, who's invited, who should take part in it, and where can they get more information.
So it's Calm Assertive Academy. It will be in beautiful Yellow Springs, Ohio, which is one of my favorite towns in the United States, by the way. And it's going to be at the Mills Park Hotel, and it's July 23rd, 24th, and 25th. This is for teachers. I have another conference that's for teachers and parents, but this is for teachers, kindergarten through 12 teachers. And they can register at irvineducationalconsulting.com. irvineducationalconsulting.com, and you can just click on conferences, and you'll see there's Calm Assertive Academy, and that's what we're talking about. But there's also Kid Whisperer University, which is August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and those are love and logic skills, neutralizing arguing, delaying consequences. Yeah, we're really excited about both conferences, and we sold out Kid Whisperer University last year. This is the first year we're going to be offering Calm Assertive and Kid Whisperer, and we're selling really well. So there's going to be a lot of people, but we're keeping the numbers low, especially for Calm Assertive, because really it's going to be really interactive, where I actually am going to, for the last day, sort of treat the adults as children and run the classroom like I would run my own classroom, with using the relationship building procedures and control sharing procedures as well.
Scott, I think what you're doing is very important. Before we go, just talk a little bit about why you think what you're doing today is so important.
It's everything. There's nothing in the world more important than human beings using positive pro-social behaviors. Nothing. Nothing will work. No society will work if people are using negative antisocial behaviors. No society will work when people are trained to use negative behaviors that cause problems for people. We can't have employment. We can't have a civil society. We can't have a safe society without people using positive pro-social behaviors. That's what civilized society is. And we're really moving away from that right now. The discourse in our country is, nobody ever asks, does this cause a problem? Am I causing a problem for another person? Am I making the world better instead of worse right now? Right now, we're systematically training children who are going to become adults, if they live that long, to use negative behaviors to get what they want. What these procedures and these skills do is they give kids two choices and two choices only, all the time. You can either be cooperative and use positive pro-social behaviors, or you can suffer consequences, delivered with empathy, but you will suffer consequences for not using positive pro-social behaviors. So we're training kids to be happy, healthy people that make the world better instead of worse.
Scott Irvin, thanks for your time.
You are welcome. Thank you.